Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Would you know God? This is part one. If you are like me, you desire to have a stronger, deeper relationship with God Almighty. Now, I want to be clear right off the bat in noting that I struggle to know God, just like you. I'm not an expert and never wish to give that impression at all. I am learning. God wants us to know Him, but only by the rules He has established. He set the standard in His Son by which we enter into relationship with Him. We either obey His rules through a right fear of Him, or through pride, we rebel against Him. This is where the rubber meets the road, in the daily living out of our lives, in fear and trembling. Why should we fear God, who has openly shown us how much He loves us? Why should we fear this God, who beckons us to come and welcomes us, literally, with open arms? Why should we experience any sort of trembling as we approach His throne of grace? Well, the answer to these questions is the same. We should fear Him because of who He is. He is God Almighty, maker of all creation. He is above all and over all. All things were made by Him and for Him, Colossians 1:16. There is no other God. None. I would like readers to be fully aware of the fact that I have not considered myself to have arrived by any stretch of the imagination. I am on the path, by God's grace, to knowing Him more, to serving Him better and more completely, and to learning to fear Him. God is opening my stiff, blind eyes to the reality that without a proper fear of Him, there can be no true knowing Him. Without a proper fear attitude, without that fearful attitude expressed toward God, my prayers to Him will go unanswered. Without a healthy, profound, underlying foundation of growing fear of who God is, along with His power, omniscience, and everything else that the Bible ascribes to Him and teaches us, I simply will not grow in my relationship with Him. Now, if your spirit within you cries out, Amen, to that, to what I just said, then know that you are also on the same path that promotes a foundation of fear and trembling within you. You know, the New Age is really the old age lie that Satan first uttered to Eve in the perfect environment of the Garden of Eden. Satan told Eve that she could gain more knowledge and be like God if she just simply disobeyed His strict order not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Certainly, she did gain more knowledge, didn't she? But it was not the way God wanted her or Adam to gain that knowledge. The New Age promises gnosis. That's the Greek word for knowledge. Secret gnosis. It usually has that underpinning meaning of something secret, something hidden. So the New Age promises that you'll gain this hidden knowledge by ignoring God Himself, not following His rules, because we're taught that we are all gods, right? And we don't need God. Lucifer / Satan is adept at leading people away from God to rely on themselves. God draws us to Him, but only on His terms. And we need to not only appreciate that, but be willing to submit ourselves to that. Every branch of the charismatic movement, Freemasonry, New Age, and all cults teach people to stoop and rely on their subjective feelings to determine truth. Eve succumbed to Satan's lies because she felt the fruit of the forbidden tree promised something she wanted. Notice, she felt. Instead of fearing God and the retribution that comes by rebelling against his command. She allowed her subjective feelings, which in this case was lust, to guide her, which ultimately gave birth to sin. James 1:15. Now, once we, through our feelings, set God's word aside, we walk in error and are out of fellowship with God, in spite of what our feelings may try to tell us. Our wills need to be in harmony with His will, as revealed to our minds through, not our feelings, but His word. This is only accomplished through a healthy, proper fear of God. And if not, we are nothing more than ships tossed about on the waves of the sea, going wherever the waves and wind takes us. Ephesians 4:14. Paul states that Christians who live like this are mere infants. But the goal is to become mature in Christ, isn't it? The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Proverbs 14:27. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. Proverbs 8:13. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Proverbs 16:6. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Proverbs 9:10. Our feelings should not guide us. A growing fear of our Lord and God should guide us. The verses that I just read say nothing about using our feelings to determine truth, and everything about the benefits of when we fear God. Let me sum it up. Fear is a fountain of life. It causes us to depart from the snares of death. It hates evil. It helps us depart from evil. Fear is the starting point for true wisdom and knowledge of God or the holy. Saul felt compelled. You remember King Saul? In 1 Samuel 13, we learn of a horrible decision King Saul made. While waiting for the prophet Samuel to arrive to offer a burnt offering, Samuel was delayed. Well, here's Saul the king. Instead of waiting personally, he offers this burnt offering on his own. And just after he completes the thing and offers it, Samuel arrives, and he asks, King Saul, what have you done? Recall also, before we talk more about Saul, King Uzziah. He also made a terrible mistake by wanting to personally offer incense inside the temple on the altar. God punished Uzziah with leprosy, ensuring that he'd never be able to step inside that temple of God again. Here's what Saul says to Samuel. I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering, 1 Samuel 13:12. I've emphasized the word felt in what I just said because it is a word that I heard often when I was involved in the charismatic movement. In fact, inside or outside, the word felt is still used in normal conversation to express a person's belief that God was the main reason they did or said something. They seem to have no fear that they could be mistaken. It's God's fault. God, I felt it. He compelled me. I felt that I should say this to you. I feel that this is what Christians wind up doing, and it's all based on how they feel about something. 1 Samuel 13:12 tells us what is wrong when someone says they felt compelled to do or say something because God. It is due to a complete lack of fear on their part. Romans 3:18. Saul felt that as king, he could stand in Samuel's place as a priest. Well, he was dead wrong, and it cost him dearly because God rejected Saul. Now, this morning, I spent some time in prayer pleading with God that he would bless me with a greater, growing fear of him. I've begun to realize that without the requisite fear of God, my life as a Christian will indeed suffer greatly. A right fear of God translates to a growing awareness of His holy presence in our lives. And I'm not talking about what Brother Lawrence and his Practicing the Presence of God little book advocated. In that book, Lawrence delves deeply into a very mystical experience that is, I don't believe, born of Scripture, but born of his own feelings, which also, I believe, opened him up to the charades, suggestions, and lies of the enemy of our soul. We're going to address this more in a future article. What I'm actually referring to is a unique awareness that only comes through an intimate fear of him, something every Christian should desire and seek daily. And I conclude, we can't actually fear God enough, which is one of the messages of the book of Job, in my opinion. We cannot fear God enough. We just can't. This is what we need to be doing. While we learn in chapter 1 of the book of Job that Job was blameless, righteous, and feared God then, oh, you can be sure that he had a far greater and healthier fear of God by the end of the book of Job, because of what he had established in his life, because of what God revealed to him. He feared God at the beginning, but he feared him so much more at the end. Years ago, I worked at McDonald's while attending a junior college. And one day, as I ran a cash register, a man walked in, and I knew him immediately to be the manager of the entire area for all the McDonald's around. He traveled in a very well-appointed bus all over the state and frequently checked in on how the various McDonald's restaurants were doing. Well, here I was, waiting on this particular gentleman. Do you think I was nervous and even a bit fearful? Oh, you bet. And I endeavored to do everything correct according to all McDonald's policies. After he left, I breathed a sigh of relief and I relaxed. But really, why? Why did I do that? Wasn't every customer to McDonald's just as important as the man on whom I had just waited? Of course. But at the time, I didn't think of that. And it's not that I treated regular customers without respect. It's just that I did not fear them the way I feared someone who could have me fired on the spot. And when he was gone, so was the fear. Let's turn to Hezekiah. King Hezekiah is someone we learn about in 2 Chronicles 30 as someone who had a true heart for God. He did some great and wonderful things. He reestablished the Passover, sending messengers throughout the land, telling the people to come to the Passover celebration in Jerusalem. Sadly, not everyone in Israel was in favor of the idea. 2 Chronicles 30:10 tells us this. So the couriers went from city to city throughout the country, but they laughed them to scorn and mocked them. Mocked them. Ultimately, these people mocked God himself. Yet many hearts throughout Israel were turned to the Lord, and they did come to celebrate the Passover. It was a very good thing that Hezekiah did. And at one point we read, quote, "For a majority of the people had not cleansed themselves, yet they ate the Passover otherwise than prescribed." That's 2 Chronicles 30, verse 18. Have you ever done that with the Lord's Supper, or what we call communion, when you have just haphazardly take the bread and you think, just drink this cup, yep, without truly thinking about the ramifications and the meaning of it? Or maybe you have unconfessed sin in your life. I've done that. I'm ashamed to say I've done that. But King Hezekiah does something wonderful here. Quote, "For Hezekiah had prayed for them, saying, 'May the good Lord pardon everyone who sets his heart to seek God, the Lord, the God of his fathers, even though not according to the sanctuary's rules of cleanness.'" 2 Chronicles 30, verses 18 and 19. Now, verse 20 gives us the Lord's answer, and it tells us the Lord heard Hezekiah's prayer. This is absolute proof, by the way, that a right heart before the Lord is far more important to him than just going through the motions that look outwardly correct. God sees the heart, the seat of what motivates us. But there came a time in Hezekiah's life when he became proud and he stopped fearing God. It is as simple and profound as that. When God told him to prepare for his death, Hezekiah begged God to let him live. Well, God relents and answered that prayer, 2 Chronicles 32, and almost immediately two bad things happen. First, he winds up bragging to visitors from another empire regarding the wealth of his kingdom, and his son Manasseh was born, who ultimately becomes king after Hezekiah passes. Manasseh was a horrible king. It's almost too bad Hezekiah didn't die when God originally told him to put his house in order. You're going to sleep with your fathers. The reason pride goeth before destruction, Proverbs 16:18, is due solely to the fact that pride replaces fear. Pride pushes fear out. The two cannot coexist. Either you fear, or either your fear of God will drive you to your knees, or your pride will push you away from him. Which lives in you? Which lives in me? We cannot have both. We either want to live in fear of the Lord, or we will live in proud ignorance. Now, I believe especially in these days of growing evil and corruption, we don't need to fear any of that. Instead, we should fear God in endeavoring to live a life that pleases him through our constant submission to him in all things. That should be growing within us. You can submit to him because you have to, or because you desperately want to. You can also ignore him and try to get by on your own wits. Gas shortage? God will provide. Food shortage? God will provide. Anarchy growing throughout the USA? God will guard you. The prerequisite on our part is to fear him by approaching him in a manner that proves to him we highly esteem him, we cherish him, his love and guidance, and we desire above all things to be faithful to him in whatever he allows to come our way. Would you know God? Fear him. We will be back next time with the biblical ways that help us gain more of an appropriate fear within us, beyond simply praying that God will grow that fear within us. And of course, that is absolutely needful, but there is so much more to it than prayer only. But prayer is absolutely part of the picture. Thanks so much for joining me, and I pray until we meet again that God would open your eyes to show you how blessed you are in him.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.